Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly. Now, guys, with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, or your MP3 player, you really can't go wrong. Now, I love to read, but with me being on the go up and down the road a lot, sometimes the best thing to do is to download an audiobook and let the audio tell me the story. So go on over to www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly for your free 30-day trial and download your free audiobook today. You're listening to episode 23 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled Alan Brandy Owens, Developing the Positives from the Negatives They Had to Live Through. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hi guys, thank you so much for coming back to listen to what's actually part two of the podcast episode. It was really getting good, wasn't it? I know you guys wanted to know what happened. Well, here's your chance to finish up this episode. Now, where we last left off, Al and Brandy were talking about how they were, you know, trying to have a baby and it just wasn't working out the natural way. So they received a phone call, and the phone call suggested that they become the adoptive parents of someone they knew. So go ahead and tune in and listen to the rest of the story.
Wow. And I think I was tired.
Okay.
I got tired.
Like you were fighting almost.
I felt like I was fighting in a ring by myself. I was tired. I was tired of going to the doctors. I was tired of being told, I don't know. I was tired of saying, you need this test. I was tired of taking off of work. I was tired. I didn't.
And then for them not to even say, I'm saying you're not able to have children unless you do X, Y, and Z. They're just saying nothing. We don't know what's wrong, why you're not getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So I'm sorry. I just wanted to make that clear because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did the doctor ever say anything? So I think, like you said, you wanted to know where the pain was from. It took 3 years to find the pain, the source of the pain, and stop. And now, not that this is a physical pain, but like an emptiness.
It was an emptiness.
And nobody can tell you. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So I'm sorry. So jump forward. So you guys were helping the young lady out because that was the baby that was going to be yours.
So we did everything and we always kept on telling her, if there's any doubt in your mind,
okay,
because you have the right. You have the right to change your mind. And she kept on saying, no, this is the right thing to do. I mean, she was walking around telling people she was a surrogate.
What?
She didn't, she was like, oh, and when we went to the sonogram, she's sucking her thumb, but that's y'all problem. I mean, like we.
Wow.
Like we were close, I mean, like close. And so.
Clearly y'all going to sonograms and wow.
And she
finally. The fact that she was telling people she was a surrogate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we were super, like just. Elated, you know, grateful to her. And for Christmas, she found out around Christmas what she was having, and she was having a girl.
Okay.
Now she has two children already.
Okay.
Two boys. And then so around Christmas, we gave her a card, and I just thanking her again for making my dream of becoming a mother feel like it was in my grasp.
Mm.
And so after Christmas, we realized, like, the phone calls start getting sporadic.
Okay.
I wasn't hearing from her as much. I would call her, like, okay, when's the next doctor's appointment? Are we going to our dinner date? Like,
wow.
What, you know, I stopped hearing from her. And so I started getting worried. And I was okay. like, I don't know what's going on. And so I was like, well, maybe her phone's not working. Or because he always see give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't have no benefit or nothing.
I need you to be straight up.
I need
up,
you to be straight up. And I always think the worst so that I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
So I stopped hearing from her, and he was at work, and I happened to go on Instagram.
Okay.
We were friends. And the whole time she was pregnant, she never posted a picture of herself pregnant. Never.
Because she wasn't keeping the baby.
Because she wasn't keeping the baby. And so something said, go to her page. So I go to her page, and she has all, like, these pictures. This is my blessing. Like, she's talking about, and she named her. And immediately, I'm a bucket of tears. And my sister just happened to call me, and she's like, Ma, where are you? You need to get to Brandy right now. And she's like, well, what's going on? She said, she's keeping the baby, and she didn't even call Brandy an hour to tell her. And I wasn't upset that she was keeping her. I was upset at the way it was handled. If you were telling people that she was a surrogate, we should have been the first person that she called. Backstory to this. We were on our way to the lawyer's office. Because we had gone for the consultation, and he said in the state of Maryland, the birth mother has 30 days from the day that the child is born.
Okay.
I cannot physically give you any paper because it's not here.
Okay. All right.
So but he said, this is the retainer. And this is how much it will be. And once she has a baby, we'll go from there.
You guys were ready.
We were ready.
You had already did
so
all of that.
So people from my job, it's like, we know how expensive adoption can be. Here's, put this in your fund. Like,
what?
People had started donating, you know, to this retainer.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, I was beyond devastated. And I'm like.
And to look and see again, to see that on a social media site, and you know that we're friends.
I was heartbroken, to say the least. I was heartbroken. This is a month before she's having the baby.
So you were with her from basically the beginning all the way up through.
Yes.
Had you guys gotten anything for your home, like for
no,
the baby?
No, I was very adamant about not getting anything. I told my family that I would rather bring the baby home in the bare necessities than to have a house full of stuff. And she changed her mind because I knew that in the state of Maryland, there's such a long time because she could have had the baby and we could have had her and she could have changed her mind. Within 30 days, she could take her from us. But this the kicker. She looks like me.
So it's almost like God is like, oh my
she
gosh.
She reacts to our voice.
Because we used to
speak to her. Remember, she wasn't keeping her.
Right. So you guys would talk to her belly. You guys would be, oh my goodness.
That was a punch in the stomach. It was just like.
So you find out your mom gets to you, consoles you. How did you tell Al?
He called me and he's like, do you need anything?
Oh, just like, oh like man.
He's on his way home. He calls every time when he's on his way home. And I was like, no, I just need you to come home right now. And he's like, what's going on?
You already knew something, okay.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm at my mom's. Just come to my mom's. I just need you to get here. And he's like, no, you're scaring me. Like, well, I said, she's keeping the baby. He said, I'm on my way. But in the meantime of me seeing everything, I'm calling her mother. Like, so y'all couldn't tell me this? Like, y'all didn't know? Like,
are they taking your phone calls?
She was like, Brandy, I know she texted me. She's like, I'm getting my nails. I said, no, I need you to call me right now. So I'm like, what's going on? She posting on Facebook like she keeping a baby. Like, if that's what she doing, that's fine. But you should have.
Somebody needs to tell me.
She was like, no, she ain't keeping no baby. I'm like,
her own mother didn't know.
And I'm like, y'all, somebody need to tell me something. Like, is this a joke? Because it's not funny. And I'm like,
goodness,
I'm already attached to this kid.
Right.
I'm like, I need to know something. Like, I need to know. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. This is her mom talking. Mind you, I still have not talked to the girl. The girl will not she wouldn't take my calls. Facebook. She wouldn't check. I'm calling, Facebook message, Instagram message. She would not return none of my calls. And I was like, you a coward.
Wow.
But and you're I gonna know I'm a Christian, but she was everything but a child of God.
And I'm pretty sure all of us are with you on that. Because at that point, it's almost like you're everything but a child of God. And God, why would you let me go through all of this?
I was like, God, but why?
Wow.
Like, why? Like, I'm the nicest person you'll ever meet.
And not only that, you had built a community of support around you outside of your family. You have people donating to the fun. And it's almost like you got to win this game, not just for you, but for the other people that are rooting for you.
I mean, I had my FMLA papers filled out at work. Like, I had filled out all this stuff because even as an adoptive mother, you still have right to take off of work for maternity.
Wow.
Know y'all stuff. Y'all check up on y'all stuff. You need to know what you are entitled to
with the FMLA.
I was like,
right?
They were like, no, everybody was excited at my job. Mm, like, Brandy, oh, baby girl gonna be here. It's February. She gonna be here.
See, even what you're saying that though, it goes back to what it tested our faith because we were very close and we didn't tell anybody. So now we told everybody everything that's going on with us.
So people are watching.
So everybody's watching. Everybody's supporting us now. We're getting the things that we pretty much wanted.
Okay.
But now this is happening again.
Disappointment. Wow.
And just craziness now. So we all, it came to a head.
Everything,
like,
it was so emotional. We were so emotional.
It all came out.
It all came out. The baby was born on St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the time that our emotions, came out, crying, anger. I mean, everything came out.
Wow.
And, like, so to upset, like when he mad, came, was, when he got home, my nephew was here. And my nephew.
That's how I felt.
My nephew took something from you.
I was like, oh, my God.
My nephew literally had to bear hug him.
Wow.
And he's yelling. Like, he's mad. Like, my dad's crying. Like, everybody is.
Wow.
Like, it affected the whole family. My dad's crying.
Everybody is emotionally attached to what we're going through. So, we finally opened up. And
only to have them witness your pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Only, and it seemed like to us, only for them to see us fail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, We tried it the natural way. We're going to do this. Fail. We're going to adopt. Helping somebody. I'm looking at it as I'm helping somebody.
Wow.
Fail. And so I turned into a PERDBITCH. All capital letters. Because guess what?
I can see. Because I would be done. It's like, I'm done.
I was so done. But guess what? God put me and the girl in the same room. She had the baby.
A month later? No, it wasn't even a month later.
It wasn't even 2 weeks later.
Now, let me ask you this. When you said you turned into that, did you have a... Because I know I've been in situations before where I literally have had a conversation with God and said to him, I don't know what all this is for. I know that I can... If I suffer with you, I'm going to reign with you, but I'm on earth now.
That's where I was.
I mean, did you have that conversation? Like, I can't do... Like,
I had a conversation. I was like, God... Like, you know, when you get up in the morning, you sit outside of the bed.
And you are angry.
And I'm angry. Because I woke up, like, the next day after this, I still had to go to work and tell them.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay.
I still had to go, like, even, I'm still mad. I still got to go. And I'm sitting on the side of the bed, like, God, for real. I'm like, God, for real, like, why would you even send me through all of this?
All of this just
like,
to be.
All of this for this disappointment again, like. Why would you pick it up and hang it up? Why would you do it?
Now let me ask you this. Did this disappointment almost feel greater simply because it was so close versus like you were trying to get pregnant. They couldn't tell you why. Now here is the promise of a baby to you so close. Is there no comparison, or do you feel like that could have been more of a disappointment?
It felt like a kid that get a balloon and they let that balloon go, but they kind of trying to catch it, but it was right there in my hand.
Oh, your hand.
It was like right, okay. Like we was right there at the finish line.
You had
line.
The string right there.
I had the string and it just slipped out my hand. It was like,
And there's nothing you could do to have kept it.
And I watched it fly away. I literally sat there and I looked in the sky and I saw the balloon and it ain't nothing I can do to get that balloon back in my hand. It can't come back down. Helium go up. And I'm just sitting there and I was angry. I was so angry. I was mad at the world. My mother trying to talk to me. I didn't want to talk to her.
Wow.
I didn't want to talk to my sister. I didn't want to talk to my father. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I was mad at God himself.
Yes. That's,
I was like,
cause I've been there.
But seriously, yo, you going to put it right there in my face. And
when
you
it's
just
in
go,
your power
and
to.
You right there and I've been faithful. Like seriously, dude, I'm talking to him. I'm sitting on the side of my bed like, yo, for real, you really gonna do that though?
Wow.
You just gonna let it fly and you're not gonna pop the balloon, make it come back down.
Wow.
Let some air out. You're not gonna let it come back
you
down. Just,
and you're gonna make me watch
and
it.
And you're gonna make me watch it. But he said, no, I'm gonna make you watch something even more. This was my sister's best friend's niece.
Okay.
My sister said, Bram, meet me at the shop. I said, okay.
Like the hair shop?
At the hair shop, because she owned the salon. She said, I said, okay. I get there. He at work. I said, all right. I'm sitting in the front of the salon. The baby had a doctor's appointment. She stopped by the shop. I'm in the same room with this same girl. Look at her dead in her face. And the tears started rolling down my face. I said, I need to go outside.
And you still hadn't heard from her after
all. I still hadn't heard from her. I hadn't talked to her. And I'm looking and I said, you know what? I need to go outside because I'm about to punch this girl
yes.
in her face.
But you know what's crazy to me is that to have that type of mentality that not only am I not going to tell you, but I know that you'll find out somehow. Almost like it. Like I can't even describe like what's going on in my mind now, so I can't even imagine how y'all felt.
Because you didn't even unfriend me, though.
Right, because I'm like,
you could have unfriended me. I couldn't have saw nothing.
And that's your way of telling me because you know we didn't have a conversation.
You know, we still ain't having a conversation. So I said, let me go outside. And this girl. My sister, everybody like, I didn't know she was going to stop by. I said, but guess what, y'all? Y'all couldn't shield this. It was going to happen.
Yep.
It was going to happen. And so I said, let me step outside. And I'm looking in the sky and I'm like, God, I need you to do something. I need you to give me some words. I need to hear you. You ain't talking. You ain't saying nothing. I need you to say something. And Al said, I called him. I said, I'm at the shop. I need you to come and get me right now. I need you to get in your car, leave if somebody's on that table. I need you to leave them. I need you here right now. I said, because if you don't, I might go to jail if somebody don't get here fast enough because I was angry.
Wow.
And guess what, y'all? She came outside.
The same girl that wouldn't, it would have been easier to tell you over the phone. She comes outside to where you are.
Mm-hmm. And guess what?
Purposely to you.
Mm-hmm. She came outside. But guess what, y'all? All I wanted to hear was two words.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. She said, I'm sorry, and I forgave her.
Just like that.
That's all I needed to hear. Mm.
And you said,
y'all got me getting emotional. All
you
over
got me. I'm like this. I'm like, y'all, and I think my eye makeup is cute. And she about to make me cry it off over here because.
And the reason why I needed to hear I'm sorry is because I didn't deserve that.
No way.
No.
I didn't deserve it. But all I needed to hear her say was, I'm sorry. Because guess what? At the end of the day, that's still her birth mother. The birth mother has the right. She had the right to do that. And guess what? Even through all of that, me being the person I am, I still got her a baby shower gift.
I just think that it's almost for you to say, you to call your husband and then you to tell God, you're not talking. I need you to say something. And so often we're looking to hear his voice, however we hear it in our heads, not realizing that he talks in many different ways. So he was talking when she came out, because it's almost crazy to think that here she wouldn't return your calls. She wouldn't return your messages on Facebook, but now she's willing to come outside face to face and say, I'm sorry.
And she said, I'm sorry. And I looked at her and I said, that's all I needed to hear.
And the fact that you were able to forgive her,
I said, that's all I needed to hear from you was to say, I'm sorry. And I said, I just got one question. Why you couldn't just be up front with me? She said, because I knew I didn't want to hear you cry. I said, you didn't want to hear it, but now you got to see
it. Now you got to see it. Wow. And live with that.
And now you have to live with it. I don't care that you decided to keep her, because that's your right. I said, but in the beginning, I always told you, if you had any inkling, any inkling of doubt that you may change your mind, all you had to do was say, Brandy Al, I'm having some trouble with this. Because you already had me emotionally attached to this kid.
Do you think that in a way, you know, sometimes we know stuff in our knowing, but God still wants us to go through whatever it is for
I knew a this wasn't going to work.
And that's, I'm like, did you ever
we
feel like.
We both knew this wasn't going to work.
And, wow. Okay, yeah, we can say that. Honestly, yeah, we didn't know it was going to work. We knew it wasn't going to work. But we had to keep our faith going.
Okay.
We said we were going to do it. Let's go out on faith.
Okay.
And let's go through this.
Okay.
Let's do it. And it got closer and closer. I was like, okay, this thing's really about to happen.
Okay.
And then bam, here it is.
Wow.
So God has intervened. God is always involved.
Right. But he showed himself. Right. And to me, to have, I'm just sitting here listening, wanting to find the girl and say something to her. So I can't even imagine being either one of you and being able to say, God, if you know, you're not speaking now, and then, but you know what I mean? And then to be able to
because I'm saying to him, he was speaking to her, telling her, you better get outside.
Right. He was speaking.
He was speaking.
And it's like, he's speaking to you, but we weren't listening the way that we needed to. It's like, okay, you just said, God speaks in so many ways, but we have to listen in so many ways as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have to really notice something is happening, but we're so blinded by something because we want something specific
so
to happen.
Bad.
Because you know how when they have horses.
The blinders.
They had them blinders
we
on.
We want something
so they just see. So that's how we were. We had our blinders on because we saw what we wanted and we was almost right there.
But not only that, you just said something else too. Like, okay, God speaks in so many ways, different ways. You said that means we have to hear God in different ways, but it brought me back to your closeness. You said earlier, she may say she's feeling one way, but you can look at her, or she may say nothing. And just by looking at her, you know something's wrong. When he woke up that morning and you said, why are you looking at me that way? You could hear him without, because he was telling you in a different way because of your relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's like, as long as we maintain and continue to strengthen our relationship with God, we will be able to hear him in those different ways and receive him in those different ways. So that just like taught me something there too. Just like I could look at my husband and he may not be verbally saying it, but he's telling me something with his. That was good. All right. So now.
This was March.
You go, that's and what of what? Maybe 2 years ago? 15?
Yeah.
15. Okay.
This was March.
Still no baby. Doctor's still not telling you. Now, at this point, are you even, when you go to your, are you still even going for the, for like regular doc's appointments for fertility? Or are you just like?
No.
Regular checkups.
I still got my regular checkups.
But that was it.
I was done. Because I was done. And at this point, I was in my like resentment stage.
Okay.
So like I didn't want to
church or anything like that. That's I'm just speaking from past experience. Like, listen.
I didn't want to look at a pregnant person.
Oh, so not.
I didn't want to go to a baby shower.
And you had friends that were having babies.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to a baby shower, and I didn't. And if we had to go to Walmart, I didn't want to walk past the baby section. And I didn't want to hear about nobody having no baby. I didn't want to be happy for them. I didn't feel like being happy for them. And my best friend called, and her friend was having a baby, and she was like, "I need ideas for this baby shower." And I'm sitting there like, but I really don't want to help you, though.
And that's so unusual, because for me, knowing you the short time I've known you, you're very...
It's out of her character. That's way out of her
character.
And I was like, I don't want to do it. And my best friend, his girlfriend called me. He called me and said, "I got two things to tell you. One's good and one's bad. Which one do you want to hear first?" I said, "Well, give me the bad news first so the good news can cheer me up." So he said, "Okay, my father had a stroke. He's okay. But my girlfriend is pregnant. 4 months pregnant."
And that was the good news.
That was the good news. And I said, that's excellent. I said, "You know what? I gotta stop this." I said, "Brandy, stop getting in your way of your own blessing." Because I wasn't happy for somebody else, and that was out of my character. I said, "God, all right, here we go again." I said, "All right, I'm a chill." I said, "Okay, so," because she has PCOS. Now, she was really told that she would never
have kids. I've heard of PCOS. Well, I've actually read about it.
Polycystic ovarian something. Don't quote me. I don't know. But she was told she would never have kids. And I was like, here we go again.
Wow. So that's somebody almost like a slap in the face because,
So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to be happy for her. So I called. I said, "You know what? I'm excited for you. What you need?"
Wow.
"You need help with the baby shower?" I mean, so I'm in it now. I'm in it. I said, so she had the baby. She had a boy. And now I'm back on track. And then I said, I looked at Al and I said, "You ready to try again?" And he was like, "Yeah, let's try again." Then my grandmother gets sick. So now, my grandmother gets sick. And I'm like, oh. So it wasn't that we weren't trying. It was... my grandmother got sick, and I needed to be there for her. Like, literally going to the house every day, every morning. My husband being there, massaging, doing everything. I mean, like, she had stomach cancer, and there was nothing else they could do. So, we were literally just waiting for her to pass.
Okay. And there was a point inside that era of just happenings. We said we're not going to try anymore.
Okay.
We're just going to live.
Huh.
We have to live.
Because it felt like intimacy became homework.
Okay. Because
you go to the doctors and they're telling you, "Oh, well.
Go home and have sex.
You want to have sex every other day because it's not about quantity. It's about quality of the sperm. And when you have sex, you got to lay on your back for 20 minutes. Put your legs up. Do this."
This was real stuff that doctors are saying?
Yeah. This is real.
I thought that was just...
No. And this is... Okay. And we wanted you to... you need to go get a basal body thermometer. Before your feet hit the ground, you got to take your temperature. Because when you're ovulating, your temperature is going to be slightly elevated. So...
Before you could even have... Okay.
And I want to put you on prenatal vitamins and increase your folic acid. And he needs to make sure he's doing XYZ and watch this. And
so
watch
it's like, it's no, I'm going to go home and put on lingerie and music because it might not be the time. So now we got to wait.
Wow.
So it became home. It was like calculated, like,
but it's interesting to me that in the middle of death, of y'all experiencing a death, y'all were looking for a life too. You know, your grandma, you're waiting for your grandmother to die, but at the same, because, you know, of her sickness, but at the same time, you were almost kind of like waiting for a life.
A life. And so this right here. So my it was 2 days before my grandmother passed. And we sitting in the room with her. And she telling me, she was saying, well, can you make sure I have my Bible when it's my turn to go up? And I'm looking at her like, what? Can you make sure I have my Bible when it's my turn to go up? And I'm like, okay, nanny. Because I can't wait to see Pop. Because my grandfather, this is my father's mother and father. Okay. My grandfather on my father's side is deceased.
Okay.
He passed in 91. So, she's saying, I can't wait to see Pop. And he right there. And I'm looking like, I don't see nobody over there. He said, now, my grandmother knew nothing about nothing.
So she didn't know about your fertility.
No,
okay.
She didn't know nothing about nothing. She had her own stuff going on. You okay. know, I ain't want her worrying and everything. So, you never say nothing to her. And wow. She looked at me and Al. Now, we the only ones in there. She's in hospice at home. In a hospital bed. She can't get up. She 2 days before she passed. She looks up at me and Al and she said, are y'all ready for that baby? And we look at each other like,
is she talking to us?
Mm-hmm, who's she talking to? And she points down. She said, y'all don't see that little girl right there? And we both looking. Now we know ain't nobody. Right. And we both looking and we just said, okay, nanny. This was in July.
July.
Oh my goodness.
This was in July. I got pregnant August 27th, y'all.
So a month later.
A month later.
But she said, y'all don't see that little girl.
Y'all don't see that little girl. And so we never really played it up, like told anybody that she said a little girl.
She passed a couple of days.
2 days.
2 days. But the fact is that for God to have it so that you could spend time with her, because so often with people working, you gotta work, so you may not have had that time to spend with her mm-hmm. like you did.
We were there every day. Yeah. Every day. Yeah. He was there every morning, got off work, came, relieved my dad.
And that's trying to figure out the right word to you. It's not commitment, but that's I commend you because so often women take on that responsibility in families. And for you as her husband, who you said that you took her grandparents as yours. For you to do that every morning, that says a lot about you.
And my father really appreciated him because my father mm-hmm. is the oldest, but my uncle couldn't watch his mother go through that.
Wow.
So if her now I am a squeamish person. You act like you're going to throw up and I'm out the door. But that just went out the door when my grandmother got sick.
Wow.
When my grandmother couldn't eat. Only reason why my grandmother lived as long as she did is because my grandmother was a big lady.
So she had, okay.
She had fat.
Okay.
My grandmother hadn't eaten anything in 2 months.
She was living off of her own body.
She was living off of her own body. She couldn't eat. She couldn't hold anything down. And she would tell us, I want this, I want that. And we would get it for her. She said she wanted ice cream. I get it for her. You say you want this, we get it for her. Now, it got to the point where she couldn't get up and walk anymore. My husband changed her.
Wow.
My nanny said she wanted to get out that bed. Now, that hospice nurse told him, don't get her out that bed. Why she sitting in a recliner, y'all? He said, nanny said she wanted to look out the window. I'm going to make it so she look out the window.
Wow.
And she would joke and always say, I said, your boyfriend here.
Oh.
I said, your boyfriend here, nanny. She said, that's your boyfriend. He's my husband.
Yeah, that's what she would tell you.
Her favorite flower were yellow roses. And he brought her yellow roses and he said, look what my boyfriend got me. And she would react to him like, nanny, can you just try to eat like a little bit for me?
And she would try for him.
She would give him this look and she would do it for him. And looking at that and just saying, that ain't even his grandmother.
Wow.
Like, he did all of that, and that ain't even his grandmother.
And the fact that you guys have known each other for so long, but for God to show you another side of him.
Mm-hmm. And it made me say, if he that way with my grandmother, how is he going to be with a child?
Mm-hmm. That's his.
That's his. So we were, like, just, when she said what she said, we were just looking at each other.
So you guys didn't, like, talk about it in the car and get excited, or at this point, because you had already said no more.
Emotionally, we were just like, Okay, yeah.
That's cool. All right.
That's cool.
And we didn't even talk about it. We never brought it back up.
We never brought it back up.
We never brought it back up.
So you guys have really
gave up.
Cut your emotions off.
Yeah, we were cut off.
Because, you know, when you're looking from something, you'll say, a duck crossed the road, and I dreamt about a duck last night. So that means, but for her to say this, you guys were just like, okay, nothing. Wow.
We said nothing. And so August went by. September came. I had my cycle. You can't listen. I had my cycle. And after my cycle, I felt like I was coming on again. So I said, oh, you know, that must be like the seasons change, you know,
yes, the cycle change.
But something, this was different. This was different. So I said to my sister, I said, I don't know what this about. So she said, well, just call your doctor. My coworker worked for OBGYN. She said, you're pregnant. Go take a pregnancy test. I said, I'm not taking a pregnancy test. And she kept on saying, Brandon, just go take it. She said, I know you don't want to be disappointed. I understand that. Just take it. I said, I'm not. So what did I do? She said, if you don't go get a pregnancy test, I promise you I'm going to have one and I'm going to make you pee on the stool when you get to work. And I said, well, let me just go do this because I do not want this. Because she was the type of person that would be in the bathroom stall with me like.
And then if, God forbid, it came out negative, then you'd be at work and have to deal with those emotions.
So I said, well, let me just do it.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
And the line was real faint. Real, real, real faint. But it was there. And I'm sitting there. Now, I did not say anything to Al. I never said anything to him.
You were really emotional because I would think that would be the first, you know what I mean?
I didn't talk because I had a doctor's appointment. My yearly doctor's appointment in October was coming up. And I said, I ain't saying nothing.
So you waited that long? From September taking the test to October.
I think it rattled her because she had her cycle.
Okay,
so
It all came back.
So
she didn't want to be disappointed.
Okay.
She didn't want to pull me into disappointment. And
wow.
And you know, so I Google.
Okay,
is
yeah.
The devil.
Yes, it
and
is.
And so it was like, well, if you had your cycle and that was something, it could be a false positive. So
yes.
I said, you know what? All right, it's a false positive, whatever. And so she said, no, Brandy, I need you to call your doctor and I need you to set up an appointment with him. Like, she's telling me all of this.
Oh, my
goodness.
And so
I'm like, okay. So she said, no. She said, call his secretary and tell them you want a script to go have a blood test. Because a blood test will tell you. She said, if you go there, he going to tell you to pee and he going to say, oh, you're pregnant. You still need him. She said, we're going to mark him out. You're going to go. She said, matter of fact, I'm going to go tell the supervisor right now. You're going to leave right now. You're going to have a blood test. They made me leave work. I went and had the blood test. I went to the doctor. Still didn't tell him. Went to the doctor's, and he was like, well, because he said it could be you're ovulating. Some women spot when they're ovulating or breakthrough bleeding. So something like that.
And you're just like, okay.
And I'm like, no, because I'm telling you, I went to my sister's house. I felt like I was having my cycle. By the time I got home, it was done. I was done bleeding.
That
was it. So I'm like, something ain't right.
Something's not okay.
But I ain't feel like that. That's
okay.
Devil in my head playing tricks on me. So I go and he was like, well, let me send you. I have a blood test. I said, I already did that. He said, how did you do? I said, I called your secretary. She sent me. He said, all right, well, let me go get the result. He came back and he said, yep, you pregnant. I said, shut your damn mouth.
No. Oh, my gosh.
And I said, So I called my supervisor when I left. He was like, well, you know, here go this, here go that, here go this.
You probably were just on autopilot at this point.
I couldn't even get myself together. So I called my job and she said, don't even come back to work. She was like, just go. I know how you going to tell Al now. I'm debating with myself on
whether you're going to tell him or not.
But I'm going to tell because his birthday was coming up. So I said, well, maybe I'll just wait.
Now, when was his birthday?
His birthday was October the 9th, and I felt it would have been a week for me to keep this. And
I was like, getting ready to say, how in the world?
It would have been a week for me to keep it.
My stick wouldn't even been dry. I'd have been
so I left, and I didn't go home. I went to the same shop that I saw the girl in.
Wow.
I went to the shop and they like, and I told them, and they, because before all of this happened, they prayed over me and just prayed that I would conceive a child of my own.
What?
They prayed.
And oh, like, my gosh.
So I went there and I told her, and everybody in the shop is like elated and going crazy, and they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, oh my goodness, I cannot believe it. So I FaceTime, because I was like, I was trying to wait for him to get there, but I couldn't even hold out. FaceTime him. He was a lead therapist at his job, so he getting a facial, and I FaceTime him. And I said, he's like, what you doing off? I said, I had a doctor's appointment. He said, no, your doctor's appointment is tomorrow. I said, nope, it was today. He said, everything okay? I said, mm-hmm. He said, well, why are you at, not at work? I said, because I'm pregnant. He was like, huh? And like, he was at the salon in like 2.2 seconds.
Oh my God.
Kind of singing Jodeci. Talking about, so you're having my baby. And so it was just very, very excited. My parents were out of town, so we couldn't even tell them. Because I wanted to see their face. I told my sister, I said, but look, y'all can't tell anybody.
Because this has been 4 years in the making.
I said, you can't tell anybody. I said, I don't want you guys to tell anybody. Don't tell. No, it stay right here. I said, because this is very early. I just don't want.
I don't want you to say.
All we've been through a week.
I just didn't want you to say anything. And so the day that I found out I was pregnant, my father had left my grandmother's necklace, which is a rose.
Oh, my.
And I have kept it on ever since I found out that I was pregnant. And
she told you was having that little girl.
She told me I was having that baby. And even when I was found out I was pregnant, it still was obstacles because my progesterone levels were at a 1.1. When you're pregnant, they're supposed to be in the teens.
Jeez.
And so he thought I was having a false pregnancy himself. The doctor did. He thought I was having a false. He said, I have to go out of town, but I want to send you for a visibility test. So he sent.
And is that to see if you could see the baby?
So we go and she's doing the ultrasound and I can see her face is looking worried. Like she's looking worried and she's looking like, oh my God.
Like this is, okay, so you think when you do the test and you do the little ultrasound.
Right.
You see the little, it looked like a radar.
And yes.
And you'll see it immediately. That's what you think in your mind. It took about 3 minutes.
Well, she's doing searching, and it wasn't until she said, "Well, you know what? Because sometimes when you're just early, we can't see anything, so we're going to do a pelvic ultrasound." Uh-huh. And so
yeah,
I hear you hear in her voice, and you hear like this exhale. You hear it go, "There's the baby right here. You see the heart?"
Oh my! And that was before the pelvic.
That was at the pelvic. So we went through the other one already, and she didn't see anything. So now y'all know my mind and my heart is like,
I'm goosebumping.
And you're like, Lord, I know you didn't bring this.
God, please. Please, God.
And so
the pelvic one.
And she saw.
You saw this little tiny speck that was blinking.
Wow. And that was her heart.
That was her heartbeat.
That was little Avery. Guys, if you could see her, she's so precious. And it's funny because as you were talking, what I was thinking is your story is unique to me in that some of the women that I've met have had multiple miscarriages and then they have a baby. So in them having multiple miscarriages, they were able to pinpoint what the issue was, even if they had to get shots. So it was almost kind of, yes, we had faith. because we know what the issue is, so we have faith that God is going to fix the issue. In your case, you didn't even have a tangible issue to go off of for a doctor to say, I don't know.
I don't know.
Two doctors. One doctor says, oh, you probably won't be able to ever. The other doctor doesn't say they're wrong, doesn't say they're right. And it's year after year after year, and you're not getting pregnant. So to me, that really speaks to, even in those moments when you're like, you know, God, are you here with me? The fact that you were able to still maintain when you did, I mean, it's, I just can't even describe. I can't imagine having pains and not knowing what the, if it's ever going to go away versus, oh, you have muscle distortion or something like that. You guys had to live, like you said, and so you lived, you had to live in the midst of your pain.
And it didn't stop there, because after our progesterone levels were at 1.1, and I had to go give blood, twice.
If y'all hear their doggies barking, it's my fault because I'm scared of dogs. So really, they could probably be in the house. But because Al and Brandy are so caring, so given, and don't want to have to carry a dead body out of the house because I am terrified, they have left their little doggie outside. So I apologize to the doggie, and maybe one day I'll get over my fear and be able to meet you. Okay, go ahead on.
So we had to give blood twice a week for 3 months. To check my levels, because my progesterone levels were at an insert.
Oh my goodness.
Three times a day. So I had to do it in the morning. I had to do it at lunch, and I had to do it at before I went to bed.
And this is all to keep the gift that God gave you.
So the progesterone, I think it holds the baby. But every time we went, her heartbeat was just so strong. And for my doctor to be, I'm pretty sure he's Muslim. I promise y'all, he heard her heartbeat and he just said, but God.
Wow.
And he just kept on saying, she is something else.
He kept saying, that is a miracle.
This is a miracle. He's never seen anybody with progesterone levels that low carry a baby full term.
And the baby not have any
medical issues. Because she's healthy.
No diseases.
And nothing. They gave me the date of June the 6th.
Okay.
June 8th.
Right.
Avery was born May 6th.
Yeah, because one time you were at church and then you weren't there and then you came back with a baby.
And she, wow. Even when I had her, like the doctor, he was just like, because I went the Thursday night, I went on Cinco de Mayo. I went to the doctors and he said, your pelvic is completely closed.
Zero, it wasn't.
It was shut, closed. Wait,
so, yeah, and it has to be a little, I mean, clearly.
So we went, finished our last Lamaze class, came home, I said, all right, babe, on Thursday, I said, all right, when I come home, we're going to pack our hospital bag. Because I'm going to pack. I said, we're going to pack our hospital.
But you're not even still planning on having her till June. But you just said.
So I said, let's just go ahead and pack the bag.
We had the baby shower.
On.
The week.
On April 30th, we had the shower. May 1st, I stayed home from work. And my sister came over. She said, because you're not going to be able to keep going up and down the steps. She said, I'm a not go to work and I'm going to help you put everything away. The week before that, we did the nursery. So everything was lining up. So. She Cinco de Mayo. I'm laying in the bed and I said, well, it's about the time I usually go to the bathroom. Get up and go to the bathroom. And I said, uh-oh. He's like, oh, let's just change the sheets. You peed on yourself. No, I didn't pee on myself. So I called and we and the doctor never had this conversation of what I'm supposed to do.
To do.
And I'm like, Al, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So let me just call an office. They'll probably give me a number. And I call the number and they're like, well, when are you due? I said, June 8th.
It's midnight, by the way.
It's 12 midnight.
Oh my.
And so I said, okay. And he was like, are you sure? He said, because I just checked you this morning and your cervix was completely shut. It was closed. And so I said, well, let's just go to the hospital. He said, well, just come in. I'm here. Just go get.
At midnight.
He was doing his rounds.
He was doing his rounds. He said, well, come in and get checked and we'll and see how it goes. So we go. I didn't call anybody. I didn't tell anybody. We were nothing. I didn't tell anybody. So I get there. Mind you, I was supposed to pack my bag on Friday. I had nothing with me. Nothing. I had my purse with my insurance card.
And that's it.
That is it. And I get there and they say.
They check her?
They check me. They say, yep, you will be staying here today. You are 3 centimeters dilated. They say, you don't feel none of them contractions? I said, no. They said, so what's your birthing plan? I was like, well, we're going to try and do this thing all natural. They was like, okay, just let it. If you want medicine,
let us me know.
And I said, no, I'll probably be fine. They said, so you don't feel none of that? I said, no.
And you were 3 centimeters.
Mm-hmm. 3. So they take us up in the room, and because I'm she's considered early.
Okay.
They give me like the antibiotics. Yeah, and all of that okay. Craziness, and you can't get up and walk around because
her water had broken.
Because my water broke. So that was my water. That they didn't.
And you should have been feeling something though with your water breaking.
I ain't feeling nothing. It's like, well, you can't get up and walk around. I said, okay. So I'm chilling. At this point, I'm just chilling. We just laughing and joking.
Oh, my gosh.
Then instead of my contractions going closer together, they started going further apart. So they were like, your doctor wants to give you Pitocin because you're already 3 centimeters. So I said, okay, now, y'all, Pitocin is the devil.
I had that, yeah.
It's not a joke. So then I started feeling them a little bit, and I would, like, doze off. And I remember my Lamaze lady saying, try to get as much rest as you can.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, like, every time I'm having, because I'm having, like, 2 contractions on top of each other.
It's about 3 in the morning?
It's about 3 in the morning. And I said, you know, all right, well, let me try to get some rest. So it goes, and I'm still resting. And because I'm early, they don't keep checking you.
Okay, because
risk of infection. So I said, okay, I'm just gonna chill. So it's about probably about 11.
That next morning.
The next morning on the 6th, it's about 11, and so he finally calls and said, "Well, Brandy's in labor. We've been here since 12." They were like, "What? I can't believe you didn't call." My sister's on her way to work. She just come straight to the hospital.
Oh, my
I said,
goodness.
You know what? I think I'm going to get an epidural because I'm tired, not because I'm in pain.
And you want to, yes, you need to go to sleep. And
I want to just go to sleep because every time I had a contraction, I was waking up. I said,
in
I
the middle wanna, of it, right?
I just want to take a nap. The time I got the epidural, they gave me epidural. Then they gave me the epidural, didn't check me. I was 9 centimeters. I shouldn't have even had the epidural.
Because
they could have saved me $600 for that anesthesiology.
Because it didn't take.
Because you're ready to give.
Because he was like, okay, you're probably going to feel like you need to push, but I don't want you to push just yet. And I was like, well, how do you tell your body not to push?
Yes.
He was like, well, if you feel like you need to push, push. I had 3 contractions, 12 pushes, and she was out.
Just as healthy and beautiful as you please.
No NICU. The NICU team was there.
On standby.
And he goes over and he's looking at me and I'm like, go check on your daughter. I'm fine. Go check on her. My sister, I said, y'all can leave.
Were you almost looking at her like, is she real? Is she really?
But I didn't get the first, because she was. Yes, he was.
Because I was looking at the whole thing.
Because the doctor like tapped his arm like. When she was crowning, he was in his. I don't remember nothing. I just remember him.
That's when it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
That was real. Like,
wow.
Really real. I was like, that's my baby right there.
Your baby that you and your wife made together.
Oh my God. And I saw this head of hair.
Yes, all that curly hair.
Full head of hair. And I was like, my God, thank you. I cried right there.
Wow.
I started crying. Because
he got to see her before I did because she was considered early. They don't do skin to skin right away because they want to make sure they're breathing okay.
Okay.
So I didn't get to.
So he was over there while she was doing
it. And I was like, no, I need you to go over there.
And make sure your baby's okay.
Don't worry about me. I need you to go over there and make sure she's okay. And so she said, she's crying and he looks at her and he says, Avery. And she stopped crying. And the nurse is like, Dad, I know you're excited, but I need you to shut up. I need to hear her cry.
Oh.
Because hearing her cry is making sure her lungs are okay. And fluid. And
but she already recognized her father's voice.
She already recognized his voice. Mm. And still, the doctor is still like, I cannot believe this.
He's this still child saying, is here.
He's still like, y'all don't. He's telling all the nurses, like, that is a miracle baby. Do you know? Like, he's telling everybody the story. Like, that is a miracle baby. Like, she didn't have to have any breathing tubes or anything.
Oh, my
breathing
goodness.
On her own. Healthy.
What I love is how we will just casually, sometimes we throw out as cliche, God's timing. But for you to be at the doctor's, and for me, you know, who have had a baby knows that if you're closed up, you're not like, you normally when you go to the doctor, you're 1 or 2 centimeters. Then they say, okay, for you to go and be no centimeters, your water breaks. You don't go into immediate painful labor. And then just, and it kind of seemed like it was kind of smooth.
Let me tell you why it was so smooth. God said, I didn't put you through all of this other, all this other trials and tribulations. I'm going to make this right here smooth
for you.
Like my labor was so smooth. My water broke at 12 midnight. I had her at 12, 11 noon. Who do that on that first go round?
Right. I mean, and then just.
It's like we went to sleep and you woke up and had a baby.
And had a baby.
That's in what God's.
Because like. I FaceTimed my coworkers. I said, y'all, I'm not coming into work today. Yeah. I'm in labor. They was like, hold up, what?
It was that easy going. It was just so relaxed, so comfortable of a situation to be in.
And it's almost like the mindset of God, because we've been through so much, I trust you. I'm not going to worry. Because it doesn't seem like you were worried about the baby. They're trying to do all these checks, and you're just like, my baby's here.
Mm-hmm. And my doctor was like, you sure you ain't never do this before? Because you just handled this like a champ.
Right.
Like, I'm hearing women yell and scream and do all this nonsense. And my sister even was like, what? I just remember my dad say, pull your legs back. I said, I'm too fat for all that. And then he was like, all right, y'all going to make it work. And my sister tells her friend, she's like, she handled that like a champ. Because even though I got the epidural, I didn't feel it yet.
Because if they had checked you before, they wouldn't have gave it to you.
Right, they wouldn't have.
Wow. It's like God truly gave you beauty for ashes.
And when I tell you she is an amazing baby. She is a joy. She
wakes up with a smile
on her face every morning.
And whenever I stop y'all and talk to them in church, she's just sitting there like she's not fussy. She's just like a little lady. She's absolutely beautiful and the perfect mixture of her mother and father. And I hope y'all can hear her little voice. So like Brandy and Al said, for the doctor to say, this is a miracle baby. Now think back again. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. So no one was really saying if she could or couldn't have a baby. So she suffered an emptiness for 4 years. But remember, you can't have a miracle unless you're in a place to need a miracle. And that's what they needed. And they got their baby Avery. So I want to thank, first of all, Al, you as a man, sharing and giving other men advice, and because all men aren't so open. And since I've known you again, you've been very open. So I appreciate your openness and your upstandingness, if that's a word, as a man, you're definitely. Welcome. I definitely know that you are an example for many men, you know, to follow. Avery, I appreciate you letting me have your mommy and daddy for these couple hours. Y'all should see her just smiling at me. And Brandy, I just truly appreciate you keeping your word. Y'all, I would be like, when you gonna do this podcast? And one day Brandy was finally like, girl, here's my number, text me so we can get this going. And y'all, they didn't got off of work, had to go get the baby, helped me with my car and sat here and did this podcast. So I just wanna thank them again. And guys, I just want you to remember, just take from their story that whatever it is you go through, whatever it is you're facing in life, even if man can't trace the issue and you're looking for a miracle, keep heart, because remember, you have to be in a position to need a miracle to get a miracle. I love you, butterflies. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening,
guys. Thank you for listening, guys.